Okay. Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking. We're on Long Island News Radio 103.9. We're talking to Teresa Rignanti. She is the CEO and president of the Long Island Way of Long Island United Way, I should say. And we were talking about the origins of the organization in the last segment. But the programs that you do, Teresa, they vary. They're pretty. You have a pretty big scope, don't you?
Yeah, we've tried to align better with relevance for Long Island. So, you know, when you look at our population of around three million, and we take a look at the disparity between people who are wage earners, say at 40,000 to 80,000, struggling, you know, with kids and the same things that all of us are struggling with. But we got to figure out the programs that support that middle class, because they're not really, there's no money available to them on public assistance or any of those other programs.
A union carpenter, a middle class. That doesn't exist anymore. He can't make the middle class on the money he makes in many cases. You know, and so the term is flexible, you know. It's,
well, for Long Island, the number needed in a household in just self-sufficiency, there's a lot of self-sufficiency studies done, $90,000 for a family of four on Long Island is where you need to be in order to
feed,
average,
clothe,
right.
House, and educate.
Correct.
Because the days of going to college for free because the state paid for it a long time over.
Right. So you see the real advancement, you know, for community colleges. You see the advancement in their curriculum. You see the advancement in their vocational offering. So the United Way, some years ago, we took a look at
some of the income.
So in the income disparity, so we have a program called Youth Build. And we align with the community colleges to make sure whether it is their automotive technician or the programs that they have.
Do you work in concert with BOCES?
We work really in concert with not BOCES, because the curriculum of what our kids are 18 to 24, they're out of school.
Right.
They're out of school, and we need to get them credentialed. So we're supported by the Department of Labor nationally in a federal competitive grant to produce outcomes for kids. Yep, and the unions are very much a part of the work that we do, because we this year have just put together with the building trades a pre-apprentice program that would track students to the apprentice programs of the trades. So we've aligned with the Labor Education Agency, we've aligned with the Building Trades Department of Labor here in Suffolk locally, and have put together a program called Opportunity Long Island to make sure that, you know, young people who are from really, you know, from communities all across Long Island have an opportunity and an equitized opportunity to get in and to be a part of a really great quality career. And because it isn't only about young people going to college. It is for some, but not for all.
And it could be both.
Right.
Because here's what happened with me. I came out of the Coast Guard with no college education. I went and took a test with AT&T to see what my aptitude was and if they needed me. They said, your aptitude is excellent. We don't have any jobs for you unless you want to take a job as a porter in the garage. And I said, no, I'm not taking that job. And I went home and I told my mother, and she said, I lived through the Depression. Go back there and tell them you'll take the job. I took the job. They put me through every possible school that they could find to get me training that I needed. I made a very fine living. I made enough money in that job to buy a farm in Vermont and a house in Centerport, and eventually a house in Fire Island, but that had nothing to do with the early days. But you know, the thing is, that would never happen today. Never in a million years. You don't have an education? You can't fix this thing before you come in the door? Don't come. Stay home. Nobody wants to invest in people like I was.
Right, and I think that today, when you take a look at even veterans...
I'm somewhat resentful of the fact that it's not happening today.
Well, you know, I think it, you know, it's like, where is the manufacturing methodology for young people who are maybe coming out of a BOCES program? There's a lot of manufacturing going on across Long Island, but it's very niche.
Yeah.
And so the pharmaceuticals, you know, are in this space, the biotech, the Estee Lauders.
But you don't have that army of machinists out there building things like big things.
Right. So now it's all about technology. Even if on your manufacturing floor, you need to have the basis of technology because robots are running those floors.
Well, you can't run a lathe without a computer and understanding.
So I think that the colleges and the community colleges are sort of training up and having the right certification programs, and the United Way is very aligned in those certification programs because as our students come through that have been out of school, they're 18 to 24, they might have had some left and right turns in their life and they didn't stay on the path. And I think that's really...
I didn't finish that story. They not only did the technical training for me, they gave me money to go to college.
Right.
I'm telling you, it's like it's a different world, and I don't know all the roots of the problems, but I will tell you this: greed is a big problem. When we want to take all the money at the top of the corporation and let the workers. I was down in the Mexico City with my wife many years ago, and I saw these beautiful buildings. I knew the architects and I knew the builders and I knew these guys that I was with. And their workers are living under tin enclosures around the foundation of the building they're putting up. Right. I said, in America, those guys would be going home, taking a shower and taking their wives out to dinner in a nice house and living in a nice house. Well, back then, anyway. We can't let this disparity of income continue. Otherwise, people like you will struggle harder and harder to help solve the problems of the people who are not making a living or can't make it.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
I don't want you to get too philosophical.
No. I'm not going to get philosophical. I just think that this is my core of how, you know, organizations like United Way.
You can understand why John calls me a socialist.
I
am
socialist. I'm certainly in this role that I'm in, compassionate to try to move the needle and help people along. But, and here's the but, you know, when there's an opportunity and when you help a client remove the barriers of whether it's transportation, childcare, housing, you know, go to work, because there's a lot of things that need to line up in order for someone to show up every day, be on time, be committed to their work. And a lot of times for people who don't have that support network, it's just not possible, right? Because I even 2 years ago, living in Islip, and I was working in Hempstead, I said, you know what, let me see what it would be like for me to get on public transportation and get to work. I wanted to see.
You'd rather shoot yourself.
When you have that perspective of understanding how challenging that is, and then when you add the 4-year-old that you have to drop off to childcare, and is childcare open, there's reasons that some people, in terms of having that barrier to be competitive and get employment, so we try to do with those people who we can help is help them. You have to be an organization that uniquely is positioned to help solve for it all. You can't just be the organization that's going to help them get a job. You have to be the organization that's going to solve for transportation, the childcare, all of it. And you got to line that up in a way that that person who's going to earn $40,000 in the workplace is going to be able to move up with less complexity of obstacles, right? Because you've got to be able.
I just wanted, when you start talking about transportation, when I was working as a porter in the garage, I was making no money, of course. So, you know, I I had to take a bus to get to work. And, of course, the bus was so circuitous that I had to, it took me so long. It took me 2 hours to get to work. What I would do is I would walk a mile, then hitch, or I'd get on the highway and hitch. I was out in the freezing cold. People don't understand what it is to take yourself from zero to someplace.
Right.
And
but, you know, listen, too, even if, like, the enclosures, as some people, I've seen some of the bus enclosures. I mean, you know, people being out there in the freezing cold and they're not being enclosures. Yeah. You know, we've been able to do some work in this area, you know, in partnership with government, very important.
Yeah. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Teresa, and you do good work. This is Ernie Fazio. We're on Long Island News Radio 103.9. And I want to thank you for listening. This is Earnestly Speaking.